This morning, we're going to be starting off with a lesson that we're going to do in two parts. So Cody, Roger, and I were talking about maybe taking two-part lessons because normally we do we normally had two services on Sunday. So we thought, well, what was the difference about, putting together two lessons, so the next Sunday I'll have a continuation of this lesson and they'll kind of meet somewhere in the middle. So today I probably spent the most time that I've ever trying to put together a title for my lesson. I really, really, really thought about this and tried to put it together, and this is what I came up with. Persistent perseverance. And at first, when you read that, you're like, but I thought those meant the same thing. Well, let's take a look at it, and we're going to kind of look at some Bible stories and just some thoughts with persistent perseverance. So, I'll kind of tell you how I came up with this title. I was really thinking about being persistent, following God's word, being persistent, and persevering through hard times. Well, let's kind of look at these words. So, persistent. So, persistence is firm or abstain continuance in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. Now, I just kind of want to think about this word because normally it's used in a negative way. Even when we think about our own conversations, have you ever had somebody tell you, well, that person's persistent? And you're like, well, yeah. Even my admin, when she calls me and says, hey, I have a student on the line, they're being persistent. I'm like, okay, I understand where this is going. I know what that means, that persistence, it's normally used in a negative way, but normally somebody is working hard towards something. They're being persistent at it. Well, and then perseverance is persistence in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. This is normally used in a positive way. People normally say this in a positive way, that they're persevering, they have perseverance. So I came up with my own definition for this lesson, combining the words together. Continual or always working on achieving success in spite of difficulty. Now, that can be with just about anything. With hardships, with trying to learn God's will, or just trying to learn anything at all. I was talking to Jenna yesterday about this lesson. I started thinking just about all of the Bible stories that I could use with this. And I really started thinking, I really started thinking just about any Bible story follows this line. Normally somebody learns about God's will or God gives them a task and they do something. I normally think of that's just about anything in the Bible. However, I was thinking about my own learning, and I feel like this most of the time. Whether we might really struggle with a concept or try to learn something, I always had a hard time learning when I was younger, and I could never really figure out what my issue was. I consider myself a slow learner, right? I even think today, I graduated high school, but I'm still taking classes. I just finished some final exams last Monday. I consider myself a slow learner, but that doesn't mean I have to stop learning. I just might learn things slowly. I just keep going is what I was thinking with this persistent perseverance. So we might all have had hard times trying to perceive something or come up with something. Maybe we tell our children, hey, I told you not to do this, or this is the way you need to learn this, but that might not be the way that everybody learns. I think we ourselves have to come to the understanding that we need to have persistent perseverance, because we may tell our child 100 times to do something, so there's this quote, if you've told your child 1,000 times and still doesn't understand, then it's not the child who's a slow learner. That one kind of hits me hard. I'm like, how many times have I told the kid, quit doing that? And it's like, but maybe I need to rethink this for a minute. So with that, I was thinking about the church in scriptures and finding our way with this persistent perseverance, because we're told that if we seek, we'll find. So in Luke 11, 9 through 10, I don't know why I have another 9 in there, but that's where I'm going to start with this verse. It says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. When I read that, I often think it's not the first door that you knock on. It's not the first question you'll ask. It's this persevering towards this end goal. And I was really thinking about something. Mom sent me a text the other day that had this in there. And it said, don't look for the nearest church to your house. Look for the closest church to the Bible. Because when I was thinking about people knocking or trying to find their way, really the way is trying to find the one that's closest to the Bible, that follows God's word. So when you're out searching or thinking about what you should follow or what you should do, this was a great thought that follows along with it. So let's take a look at some people in the Bible that I was really thinking about this, that they understood what God wanted and maybe what his will was, but was a little confused. And with that, just with persistence, perseverance, there's like 9 slides missing here. But I'm going to continue to read. We'll get back to this one. I'm not sure what happened, but 90% of my lesson is gone here in the middle. But let's keep going. I'm actually just going to read. So if you guys would like to open your Bibles and follow along with me, it doesn't look like the slides are going to line up this morning. So we're going to actually look here in Acts 8. So in Acts 8, 9 through 25, that's what we're going to look at this morning. So we're going to look at Simon the sorcerer. So when I was thinking of somebody that might have known, he still was a little confused about things. So let's look in Acts 8. We're going to look at 9 through 25. I'm not going to read all the verses, but I'm just going to look at a subset of the verses here in Acts 9. So we're going to come back to Acts 9 a little bit later, but right now we're going to look at Simon the sorcerer. So in Acts 9, starting at verse 9, it says, there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. Okay, let's jump down to 13. And Simon himself, who also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which was done. And when Simon saw that through the laying on hands of the apostles, hands of the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that someone on whom I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. So when I read this passages here in Acts 8, 9 through 25, we see this story of Simon. It looks like he believes and is following, and he even continues to follow Philip. So it seems like he's coming to this understanding of what it is to follow God. But yet he is a little confused because he thinks that he can buy the gifts of the Holy Spirit with money. So again, he is learning this way. He's still persistent in his pursuit because he is following God's will. But he is a little confused because he thought he could do this. However, he is taught very quickly. Because here in verse 20, Peter says, but Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in your sight. Repent therefore of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by the bitterness and bound of iniquity. So when Simon heard this, it hurt him, because I think it hit him that this was not right. And it says here in 24, then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of these things which is spoken may come true. I hope that Simon, I don't think we read about him again, I hope that he stays persistent in his pursuit. Because he thought he could do these things. However, he was told that he was wrong, and that he would even need some prayers of the sin that he had committed. He thought that he could purchase the Holy Spirit. But that's not what the apostles wanted to do. So I believe that he was persistent in following God, but he was just a little confused about some things. Because that sin can ensnare us. In Hebrews 12:1, it says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin in which easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Because we know that when we're perceiving or where we're pursuing our knowledge of God, our studies, our following here of Christ, we know that sin can easily ensnare us. And I think of that when I think about this story of Simon the sorcerer. He was ensnared by that sin because he wanted that power. He wanted it so badly, he offered them money for it. But once he found out that that was not the way, he was easily put in his place because then he understood what he needed to do. Also, in Acts 17, I was really thinking about what Cody's lesson was last week. And I've always thought about when they saw the statue to the unknown God in Acts 17. That goes along with what Cody was mentioning last week. And I thought about, you know, as we're trying to run this race in life, that of the verse that we just read, we were told that God doesn't overlook certain things anymore. So as we're running this race and trying to learn what we can about the Bible to follow His will, it said in Acts 17, starting in verse 30, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead." When I read that, I think, you know, we can't be ignorant in this. When I was thinking about learning and trying to increase our knowledge in God's Word, that we're given the Word to follow. Now, I know that in this verse, they're giving correction about the idol to the unknown God, and He's giving them correction there. But, you know, I was just kind of aligning this with thinking about, you know, God used to overlook ignorance, but now, you know, now that Jesus has come and set the way, this is what we need to do. Because we need to have patience with that. You know, and I think of the apostles having patience with Simon, and them having patience working with other people. I think of James 1:2-4. Because when you talk about perseverance, patience goes right along with that. If you type in perseverance on the internet and you start looking up Bible things, Job, you know, always comes up. So everybody thinks about the patience of Job. But I'm thinking about patience, of course, from James 1:2-4. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Because we will fall into tribulations. Because tribulations produce perseverance. And Romans 5:3-5. I'll give everybody a moment now that this isn't, I don't know what I did, but I'll give everybody a second here. Romans 5:3-5. "Our tribulations produces patience and perseverance." Starting in verse 3, it says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." So when we think about those perseverance, those tribulations, we think of this verse. I think of this verse here in Romans. As everyone is working towards this thing. Thank you. Now, when I think about this tribulations or patience or perseverance working towards something, I think about Paul and Agrippa. Now, I really had to stop and kind of think about this one for a little bit because I was trying to align up things that we may not normally think about. And I hope everybody just kind of entertains and goes with me here for a little bit because I'd like to read some passages and kind of get to the point where I was talking about with Paul and Agrippa. And I hope it makes sense because it shows where perseverance, patience, and learning God's will can really help people understand. So let's set the stage here in Acts 26, starting in verse 21. We have Paul appealing to Caesar and going before King Agrippa here. So this is in Acts 26. For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple. So he's giving his account here. This is Paul talking before Agrippa. Me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witness both to small and great, saying no other things than these which the prophets and the Moses said would come. That Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Continuing in Acts 26 and 24. Now he thus made his defense. Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. In verse 25 it says, But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king before whom I also speak freely knows these things. For I am convinced that none of these things escaped his attention, since these things was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. So I was thinking about what was said here, and it's always interest me that Festus said, much learning is driving you mad. That's always really made me think. I'm pretty sure we've known some very smart people that know a lot, but they oftentimes seem mad. I've been reading a lot of biographies lately, and these are some biographies that I've read, and I can pretty much attest that most of these people are mad. I've really been thinking about the people that just do nothing but continually learning and working on these things. They almost seem like they're mad or they're crazy. But let's think about this in a different light. Let's go back to Acts 9, right? So let's go back before he talks to Festus here. Because I believe Paul was helping Festus make those connections between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And he was showing clearly about how Jesus was Christ. And Festus was having a hard time dealing with this. Now, we know that Paul studied at the feet of Gamaliel, that he had done all of this learning, that he was very intelligent in the Jewish scriptures and the Old Testament and everything. But I feel like here in Acts 9, I can kind of see where Paul, Saul at the time, comes around to the idea of understanding things. He was very persistent in this. So let's look in Acts 9, starting verse 19, it says, So whom he had received food, this is right after he was baptized, or right here at this time where they laid hands on him and the scales fell off of his eyes and received his sight back. So this is starting here at verse 19. Please go back and read chapter 9. But we're going to start here in 19 just for time's sake. So when he had received food, he was strengthened and Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. So we know right here that Saul is studying and being here with the disciples here in Damascus. So then He immediately preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. And then all who heard him were amazed and said, Is this not he who destroyed those who called on this same name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose so that he might bring them bound to the priests? Because we know that Saul had this order that he was allowed to bind up Christians and send them to prison. So here in verse 22, but it says, Saul increased in all the more strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is Jesus is the Christ. I was thinking about this by putting this together. I believe that Saul, or Paul here, he had this perseverance where he was continuing knowledge, that he knew what he was talking about. He was connecting the dots between the Old Testament, the New Testament, and he was helping the Jews here at this time connect those dots together. He also did that, I believe, with Festus, where it showed how really, with much learning, he was able to prove that Jesus was the Christ. And even the Jews here were confounded by how much knowledge he had about putting this stuff together. Now, that's why I said kind of go with me on this, because I'm just thinking through this. When I read through these chapters, I think about how that could have happened or how these dots could be put together. Because I believe that that's what we should also be doing. That we also have to persevere, no matter how hard life can be. I was thinking with this time right now, with COVID and everything going on, and sicknesses, you know, persevering. There's a lot to be said with persistent perseverance. Not faltering in going after God's word. Not faulting, struggling, or working hard on something. So with that said, I was thinking about this persistent perseverance, because I have three verses here in closing. And these three verses to me tell me about how we should endure, about how we should persevere. So in Galatians 6 and 9, it says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart, if we do not give up, if we keep enduring." In Hebrews 10 and 36, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." Do we ever stop doing the will of God? So when we're done, when life is over, that we have perceived, we've gone through this life, because, in closing, in Matthew 24 and 13, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." We know that we have to persevere. We know that we have to work hard. You know, I was thinking about when we're baptized, we're doing that answer of following God. But that is just a step in this persistent perseverance about how we should always follow God. But this morning, if you would have any needs of the church, if you need help in your persistent perseverance, or if you would like to become a child of God and take that step of persistent perseverance of becoming a child by being baptized, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.